Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Coming up in this bulletin, two Buncrana councillors have a difference of opinion at a meeting of Donegal County Council over how a motion should be phrased regarding the need for funding for the local leisure centre. We will hear from Deputy Patrick McLaughlin on the anniversary of the killing of Councillor Eddie Fullerton. Police are investigating a number of reports of incidents in Derry, two assaults in Waterloo Place on Friday. Meanwhile, three young boys arrested after disturbances in the Glengalia Road area of the city last evening. Also, almost 80% of people admit to engaging in distracting behaviour while driving. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news, but before any of that, Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms say following last week's devastating fire at their Donegal factory, they're currently working on restoring the Donegal showroom's phone line and hope to be operational again very soon. They're currently assessing the exact status of orders and say they'll be in touch with all customers shortly. In the meantime, the company's Galway and Castle Bar locations are open and operating as normal. Two Buncrana councillors had a difference of opinion at today's meeting of Donegal County Council. Buncrana Leisure Centre has been ranked last for refurbishment by both Donegal County Council and Swim Ireland, despite being closed for 11 years. That's according to Fionn Bradley, who moved a motion warning that even if government funding was secured tomorrow, the council currently doesn't have the match funding required to progress the project. He's calling on the council and Swim Ireland to both prioritise the centre. Well, Councillor Jack Murray told the meeting the motion didn't go far enough. He proposed an amendment that would reaffirm that Donegal County Council has already prioritised leisure centre provision across the county and would call on the government to provide the necessary capital funding to deliver long-promised facilities. He also included the sports minister in that, saying Minister Charlie McConnellogue is a political colleague in Fianna Fáil of Councillor Bradley.
I agree with the thrust of his motion. I just don't think it went far enough. I wanted to amend it to reaffirm that the council has made it a priority, but also calling the government to fund it, because that's the biggest missing piece of the jigsaw, is the millions required from government. So I find it extraordinary that the Fianna Fáil councillor would block that amendment from being added to it, and ultimately refuse to call on his own party colleague to fund the leisure centre. So I think it was a bit of point scoring, but politicking going on, and I think it's a bad day for Donegal, because look, previously myself, Councillor Rena Dunne, Councillor Nicholas Crossan would have worked together in prioritising Buncrana Leisure Centre, and I think it does a disservice to that historic work to bring forward that motion today.
Well, Councillor Bradley rejected the amendment. He said it was based on what he called an inaccurate premises.
Well, what I said on the floor of the chamber this morning was that I couldn't accept his amendment because it's factually inaccurate. So to bring an amendment to my motion in an attempt to use it as political cover to say that the council has up until now prioritised it is just factually inaccurate. Now, the prioritisation is one side of it. The other aspect is the match funding element. So Donegal County Council has to have the match funding in place for this project and for all capital projects before money is allocated from central government. And our Director of Finance has clearly indicated that he is not in a position to say that the council has the match funding available to it for Buncrana Leisure Centre, because the reason is we don't. And as recently as last year's budget, a majority of councillors voted to adopt a budget which removed $1.5 million of borrowing capacity.
The Justice Minister is urging anyone with information on the disappearance of Karen Dernan to pass it on to Angartha Síochána. A woman in her 50s was arrested this morning in connection with the investigation. A house in Drogheda is also being searched. Karen was last seen alive in June 2022 at the age of 6. Minister Jim O'Callaghan says nothing can be done without sufficient information.
There are people out there who have information in respect of this crime. The only mechanism in order that justice can be served in Ireland is if the Gardaí investigate, have sufficient information to pass on to the DPP for a prosecution, and then our courts deal with the matter. So anyone who has information in respect of Karen Dynan needs to give that information to an Garda Síochána.
Three young boys were arrested in Derry last evening following reports of masked youths throwing stones at passing vehicles and blocking Glengalia Road with burning pallets at around 6 o'clock. It's also believed petrol bombs were thrown, causing damage to a bus stop in the area. Officers attended and dispersed the crowd, remaining there to monitor the situation, which was described as calm shortly after 7. With more, here's Katie Gillen.
Three boys aged 9, 12 and 13 were detained, cautioned and subsequently taken home to their parents. They will be referred to the youth diversion officer in due course. Chief Inspector Cherith Craig says it is really disappointing to see young people involved in this type of behaviour, which is not reflective of the community of Gallia. She added this type of reckless activity is not supported by the community. Police are now reviewing footage that was gathered from the scene and conducting follow-up inquiries. Chief Inspector Craig says neighbourhood officers work closely with partners and groups in the community and will continue with this work to resolve any issues and maintain a visible presence in the area.
Meanwhile, police in the city are investigating reports of two assaults in the Waterloo Place area at around 10 to 8 on Friday evening. A woman in her 30s is due in court next month. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
The PSNI say officers attended the area of Foyle Street after a report of a large gathering of youths. Two assaults were reported to them, believed to have occurred in the Waterloo Place area. One of the youths had been assaulted with a bottle and was taken to hospital for treatment for their injuries, which were serious but not believed to be life-threatening. The second youth who was assaulted did not suffer any injuries. Police arrested a 33-year-old woman for common assault, and she's been charged to appear at Derry Magistrates Court on the 17th of June. Inquiries are ongoing, and police are asking anyone who was in the area at the time and might have any mobile phone or dash cam footage or any other information which may assist police to get in touch.
A minute's silence was held at today's meeting of Donegal County Council at County House in Lifford to mark the 35th anniversary of the death of Eddie Fullerton. The motion was brought forward at today's meeting by Councillor Jack Murray, who said the Fullerton family continue to seek justice. The Sinn Féin councillor was shot dead at his home in Buncrana by loyalist paramilitaries on May 25th, 1991. No one has been convicted of his murder. Deputy Patrick McLaughlin believes those responsible have been shielded from justice. He says the Fullerton family have been failed by the Irish government and an Garda Síochána.
Eddie's family have pursued justice for all of these years. They have met with former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. They've met with senior Gardaí and pushed. But the big development was the Ombudsman for the police in the north of Ireland. That report was testament to the family's perseverance. It took about 13 years to complete, and what it revealed is that there was clearly a conspiracy, and in my view, firm view, of British military agents who had targeted Republican leaders and indeed Sinn Féin councillors. You had Eddie Fullerton and Bernard O'Hagan in County Derry. Republican leaders across the northwest of Ireland were assassinated. But then the same people who were responsible for those assassinations were also responsible for the sectarian massacres at Castle Rock and Grey Steel in 1993. And one of them in particular was protected and still is protected by the British state for all these years. So the family have done tremendous work, but we need the Irish government now and an Garda Síochána to come in behind the family fully. They have failed them in the past, and they need to come in behind them and challenge the British state to reveal all that it knows and to come forward with the truth.
Almost 80% of people admit to engaging in distracting behaviour while driving. 31% use map apps, 30% eat and drink, and 15% adjust dashboard screens while behind the wheel. 10% admit to using phones at red lights, while 7% use social media or reply to messages. That's according to new research by Aviva Insurance. Julie Frazier, underwriting and product lead at Aviva, says it highlights how common these habits are.
Distraction behind the wheel has become a part of everyday driving for many people. And that's obviously a real concern, because even a quick look at a screen can take your eye off the road long enough to miss a hazard or react too slowly. So, and we're not just talking about extreme behaviours either. You know, this is everyday things like checking a map, taking a sip of coffee, or adjusting your touch screen in your car.
Students from Carndonagh Community School have asked Donegal County Council to forward research to the Children's Minister regarding mobile phone use and proposals to raise the minimum age for social media access to 15. Their findings suggest 96% of 10 to 15-year-olds using social media have been exposed to harmful content. However, rather than a full ban, the students believe teenagers need more education to use social media properly. If banned outright, they say, they would lose access to vital information. The council has confirmed it'll write to Children's Minister Norma Foley, seeking a meeting between the minister and the students to discuss their research in further detail. Well, at County House in Lifford today, Donna Marie Doherty spoke to two of those students, Leona Duffy and Olin Dugan. Well, Olin is a Children's Ombudsman Advisory Panel member. He says that this is a matter of protecting children's rights.
I am part of the Ombudsman for Children's Office Youth Advisory Panel. So a lot of my research was based off the UNCRC and the rights of the child. Communication, even our news these days, it's all through social media. Taking that away from us would take away our rights to information. And you could send us to a library to sit down and read a bunch of books, but we won't do that. Our information and our communication comes from our social media.
Leona, in terms of the harmful content that minors would be exposed to, how do you think this could be navigated?
I think a lot of it comes down to not being educated on how to use it properly. I think we're all just kind of told, be careful and give you a phone, like we're not properly educated on how to use it properly. I think most of that comes down to education.
And would that be through school?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is. We don't really learn about much about it in school. I think that probably is a key factor about it.
And then I suppose finally, do you think that adults, do they know enough to be able to sort of implement that properly?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I remember back in first year, we had a class, one class a week, with a teacher who was 40 plus years old talking to us about phishing. That's the phone scams phishing. That was our kind of social media prevention class. Phishing doesn't exist anymore. Do you know, that's not the problems in this day and age. The problems are on the social media, not on your phone number. So I think that a lot of teachers need to be given their own education before they can educate us.
And there's more from Donna Marie, Olin and Leona on our website, highlandradio.com. Political parties have been picking over the fallout from by-elections in Dublin and Galway. Daniel Ennis of the Social Democrats and Fine Gael's Sean Kine will be the two new additions to Dáil Éireann, although Sean Kine previously served a term. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin were the big losers at the weekend, with the former having its worst ever by-election result and Mary Lou McDonald's party losing two by-elections as the lead opposition. But Fianna Fáil deputy leader Jack Chambers has played away any threat to Micheál Martin as his party leader.
You're picking one constituency where we have been consistently weak versus the huge rebuilding work that Micheál Martin did when he took over the party in 2011, where we had one seat in Dublin. We now have 10.
Meanwhile, some in Fianna Fáil are worried about how well Fine Gael did in comparison to them, but blue shirt TD Grace Boland played down any rift between the two parties and government.
Oh, it's politics. We're always looking over our shoulders. But what we do is we concentrate on the day job and getting it done and delivering.
Meanwhile, it was a strong day for the centre-left, with Social Democrat Gary Gannon saying they captured the mood of many voters.
Nobody seems to be really feeling the benefits of the kind of the wealth that we told we have in this country. I mean, that was reflective on the doors, whether you're in the inner city, whether you're in the more affluent parts of the country, of the constituency.
Daniel Ennis and Sean Kine can take their seats in the Dáil tomorrow, and though the ramifications of these elections will be felt by individual parties, it hasn't changed the balance of power in the slightest.
Under the government's newly announced OPW funding package, €200,000 has been allocated for river conveyance and flood prevention works in Donegal. It'll go toward removing river conveyance blockages at bridges, culverts and river crossings where restrictions pose an immediate flood risk to properties and communities. Other changes to the minor work scheme include increased funding thresholds and enhanced support for councils dealing with flooding and coastal erosion. It's after Minister Kevin Boxer-Moran visited flood-affected areas in Donegal in February. He visited Ards, Derrybeg, Inver and Pettigo, meeting with local communities in those areas. This news has been welcomed by Deputy Patrick Cope Gallagher. He says it'll make a major difference.
The relief that will be provided by using the 200,000 for a number of the schemes in the county, and I'm thinking in particular of Derrybeg, where there was serious flooding there since the minister's visit, and it affected the funeral parlour there. It affected the river adjacent to the school and to the old church, and of course the Now Dock location there. All of this hopefully can be done by this mini relief scheme, and I do know that Donegal County Council have been out, they've inspected this, and I would hope that some works could be done there together with others, and that could lead to the minor scheme, and he is increasing the grants there. But it's a matter now for Donegal County Council.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GAA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 13 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with international football. There has been a number of changes to the men's national team squad for Ireland's upcoming international friendlies against Qatar and Canada. Middlesbrough Alan Brown and Alex Gilbert, Southampton's Finn Azaz and Ryan Manning, along with Strasbourg's Andrew Obabamadele, have all withdrawn. For the Qatar match in the Aviva, Darragh O'Shea and Jack Moylan will return, while for the game against Canada in Montreal, Connor Coventry and Dustin Devoy will join the team. Hibernian midfielder Jimmy McGrath and St Mirren's Killian Phillips have been called up for the duration of the international window. In League of Ireland football, Bohemians will look to end the night at the top of the SSE or Trusty Premier Division table. They welcome leaders Shamrock Rovers to Dalymount Park, knowing a 2-goal win will send them to the summit. It'll be the last league tie between the two sides at the Fisborough venue before its redevelopment. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock. After Sligo Rovers won at the Tallaght Stadium last time out, the Hoops manager Stephen Bradley has admitted that they need to rediscover their form.
That's the bit that we always measure ourselves on. The result looks after itself. So we need to refocus, go back in over the weekend and get ready for what will be a tough week with two Dublin derbies.
Well, before that game, Derry City can look to leapfrog 5th place Shelburne with a victory over Joey O'Brien's side. Kick-off at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium is at 7.45. Derry go into the tie after a scoreless draw on Friday with St Pat's. Manager Tiernan Lynch feels that there are positives from that game that they can take into this evening's fixture.
Shelburne look like they've grinded a couple of results or got a couple of results as of late, so they'll probably become full of confidence. We have to go away now and get ourselves organised for the Shelburne visit, and it's a game we have to be looking forward to. There was so many good things we done tonight. I thought the boys were really confident in the football that they played, and they were very dominant in the game. As I say, now our big things, can we put them in the wind?
One game in the First Division tonight as well. Bottom side Treaty United will be looking to cause an upset. They're hosting the leaders Cork City. A Cork win, however, will put them 12 points clear at the top. A spot in the Scottish Premiership awaits the winners of this evening's playoff final between St Mirren and Partick Thistle. St Mirren will be hoping to keep their place in the top flight, while the Glasgow-based Partick side will be hoping for a return to the Premiership for the first time since 2018. They're level at 1-1 after the opening leg, with the reverse tie due to get underway at 8 o'clock. It was a big day in England yesterday. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta watched his team lift the Premier League trophy, but he says it's time for his players to move on from the celebrations and focus on European glory. The Can won an impressive double by beating PSG in Saturday's Champions League final. Arteta says it's clear what they need to do.
We talked about already what we have to do in Budapest, how we're going to use all the incredible energy that we all carry towards that final. We need to go through the motions and do what we've done all season, which is win football matches. We win one more and we are the champions of Europe.
The Tottenham Hotspur board has denied that the club is for sale, with the Lewis family, the majority owners, committed to a rebuild. In a letter to the fans from non-executive chairman Peter Carrington, the board has promised to build a squad for Roberto De Zerbi to compete at the highest level. Fans have been assured of investment in multiple transfer windows after the club narrowly avoided relegation from the Premier League yesterday. Tottenham midfielder James Maddison says De Zerbi's appointment was crucial in Tottenham's survival.
The authenticity of someone who's passionate for Tottenham, because I am, I love this club and I want this club to be successful so bad. And when you see the man who's steering the ship, when he's genuinely, and not just saying it for the sake of it and motivational meetings, you can tell he means it. That's why he says, like, I have blood inside me, not water.
To Gaelic Games, the draw for the third round of the Tailteann Cup has been made. Longford will host 2024 Winners Down. Tipperary will travel to Wicklow and Sligo are away to London, with Leitrim hosting Wexford. The draw for the preliminary quarterfinal was also made. New York will travel to Brewster Park to take on Fermanagh. Those games will be played on the 6th and 7th of June, with the quarterfinals on the following weekend, with Antrim, Laois and Offaly having already secured their spots. And there will, of course, be lots of GA talk tonight on the DL debate. And in particular, Donegal's win over Kerry. They'll be talking about the football and lots of other stuff that happened in that game. Brendan's guest tonight will be Highlands Big Match pundit Brendan Kilcoyne. From Radio Kerry, their commentator Tim Moynihan and Gaelic Life's Michael McMullen. That's on after the 7 o'clock news this evening. And Racing Oshinar picked up an 18th win of the season this afternoon. He won on Mayo County at Redcar, coming home at 3-1 for trainer Julie Carmacho. Oshin will be back in action on Wednesday at Hamilton. And finally, if you're following the tennis, world number 2, Elena Rybakina, is into the second round at this year's French Open at Roland Garros, winning 6-2, 6-2. Four-time champion Egon Shevnatek defeated Emerson Jones, also in straight sets, while Rome champion Elena Svitolina was taken to 3 sets by Hungary's Anna Bondar before winning the tiebreak to progress into round 2 as well. And that's your sport for the moment here in Highland, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oshin. Schools need to make it clear whether students need digital devices for the junior and senior cycles, according to the TUI. It comes as some schools have demanded the purchase of laptops or tablets for their students. Education Minister Hildegard Nocton says there isn't a requirement for children to have digital devices. But Michael Gillespie, the TUI General Secretary, says there should be a blanket policy.
We need to be clear whether students need them or don't need them for the new senior cycle and for the new junior cycle. If it's decided that they do need them, then it's up to the state, because as I said, we believe that education is a public service for public good. Then the state must provide it, like it did with free books. Second level education should be a right, so everybody should be treated equally.
Concerns are being raised around the use of poor boxes in courts. Businesses claim they're not being reimbursed for money lost from crimes, as donations are going to charities and the box instead. People who have committed a minor crime can avoid conviction if they make a voluntary donation, but the CEO of the Convenience Stores and Newsagents Association, Vincent Jennings, says businesses shouldn't have to lose out.
If we suffer a drive-off or a theft, or shoplifting or fraudulent conversion of monies or otherwise, there is a lot of money expended in ensuring that the prosecution takes place. There is our time, there is looking at through the CCTV imaging, there is making statements, there is perhaps making provision for your staff to go to court. So that's all time and money. That deserves to be compensated.
Finally, the Pope is warning of the dangers of artificial intelligence, saying some systems are practically beyond human control. Pope Leo XIV has urged governments to slow down in their development of AI models during a speech at the Vatican. He also said misinformation might lead the world down a path of unending war.
Artificial intelligence needs to be disarmed. The word is strong, I know, but deliberately chosen because this moment needs words capable of attracting attention, awakening consciences, and indicating paths forward.
Staying dry and mild tonight with mostly clear skies, some mist and fog patches in lowest temperatures of 11 to 15 degrees Celsius, light winds, another dry and mostly sunny day tomorrow with some mist and fog patches early in the morning, highest temperatures 20 to 24 degrees Celsius with light to moderate northerly winds. The main stories in brief, Cherrymore Kitchens and Bedrooms say they will be in touch with customers shortly regarding the status of orders. They hope to very shortly restore phone lines to their Donegal showroom. Their premises was badly damaged by fire last week. Two Buncrana councillors had a difference of opinion at today's meeting of Donegal County Council regarding a motion seeking funding for the restoration of Buncrana Leisure Centre. And the death of Councillor Eddie Fullerton 35 years ago today is being masked with a Donegal TD saying his family is still seeking justice. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all today's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, for the moment, good evening.
The obituary notices this Monday evening, May 25th. The death has occurred of Anne Gallagher ní McGonagall, Hall Domain, Mount Charles, originally of Clockglass, Burtonport. Her remains will repose at Gallagher's funeral home, Station Road, Mount Charles, until 8 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 3 o'clock until 8 o'clock. House private, please. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Mount Charles, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to Donegal Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund. The funeral mass will be live streamed on the Gallagher Funeral and Directors and Funeral Home Facebook page. The deaths occurred of Mary MacDonald ní McKinney, Killian Mallon. Mary's remains are en route to her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 20 past 10. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Lag, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page, Family Time, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Mary Dorian, Parkhead, Killybegs. House strictly private, please. Removal to Lakelands Crematorium, Cavan, for private cremation tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Rosaline Smith, Killald, Fulcara. Remains are reposing at Sweeney's Funeral Home, Ballybowes, Fulcara, today until rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11 a.m. in St Fionnan's Church, Fulcara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.tv or Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.